I'm here with SpinQuest, where you can play and win from the comfort of your own home with hundreds of slot games and all of the table games you love with real cash prizes. Right now, $30 coin packs are on sale for $10 for new users. It's all at SpinQuest.com. That's SPINQUEST.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
If the world were like a Sleep Number mattress, everything would adapt for your comfort. Because as your life changes and your body changes, Sleep Number mattresses adapt and shift to give you personalized comfort night after night. And now everything's on sale during our Memorial Day event. Save up to $1,200 on mattresses for a limited time. To experience a whole new world of comfort, visit a Sleep Number store or go to sleepnumber.com. Sleep Number, to a good life's sleep.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome in, everybody. It is the Early Line, live right here on Sports Grid. On a Thursday morning, I'm Kevin Walsh, joined by Donnie Wrightside of the U.S. Open, teeing off this morning. DRS, how you feeling?
I'll tell you, it's pretty nice here. You know how we do it on the East Coast, 7 to 9 a.m. here with the early line. First tee-offs there, not coming till around 10 p.m. So, or excuse me, 10 a.m. So I'm enjoying this. It's going to be a little primetime golf. Can't beat that.
Yeah, some L.A. golf is going to get us in the mix throughout the day. We're going to talk about the U.S. Open heavily here on today's show. But we start 7-7 off in the NFL, where there are some contract conversations potentially ongoing in Indianapolis as Jonathan Taylor, their star running back, is looking to get a long-term deal done with the Colts. But Donnie also says he's aware of what's kind of going on in the running back market right now.
And he's exactly correct, because the hard stance that Saquon Barkley has taken, Jonathan Taylor's not going to take that same hard stance, and rightfully so. Because right now, if you are a running back, you're just looking for a little bit of crumbs, and hopefully your team appreciates you enough to give you a nice contract.
Jonathan Taylor, though, also probably wishes that he was not coming for the contract after this past season, but 2 years ago, 18 touchdowns. 2 years ago, 4 touchdowns last season, quite a bit of a difference. We will see how things progress between the two sides. Stephon Diggs in the news because he was at practice and then he wasn't at practice. And now the Bills are bragging that he's at practice, which is a weird brag if you ask me. But everybody in Buffalo, Donnie, is saying all issues have been resolved. Diggs back in Buffalo.
Yeah, at times like this, we need like TMZ Sports to really get involved in this situation where it's not about money. It's not about being on a good football team. I hate all of my teammates. And then I show up to one meeting and everything is hunky-dory, fine, and away we go into the season. Something tells me we haven't heard the last of this situation.
It really wouldn't make any sense if we have, to your point, Donnie. Nothing happened. There was no material changes there. Maybe Diggs made his point in the, you know, minimal absence that he had. But I agree with you. I would be surprised if this is the last time Stephon Diggs gets his way into the 7-7 before the season begins. In NBA news, Bradley Beal kinda sorta is on the trade block, being reported by Adrian Wojnarowski that the two sides being Beal and his camp and the Washington Wizards have agreed to move on from the star if the Wizards decide they want to reset. So does that mean there's a world, Donnie, that the Wizards actually want to decide to push all in for a championship next year and they're going to keep Bradley Beal?
Well, wait, he's been in the league like 10 years. Don't you see all the playoff pushes and championship runs they've had with Beal? They're just one player away. Yeah, they're one player away from being better, which means moving on from Bradley Beal and one of the most ridiculous contracts in the history of professional sports.
You're not wrong, but Bradley Beal certainly could be a boost for a contender and could be a boost to title odds. And Donnie, Title odds already on the move. We will get to that a little bit in hour number two here of the early line. As we mentioned, today is the U.S. Open day. A lot of conversation will be had about the PGA Tour and the LIV Golf Tour and how all of the storylines will factor in. Since, of course, the massive news that those two will be coming together. Jay Monahan will be nowhere to be seen out there this week. Says he's going through some injuries. Boy, those are timely. But we also, Donnie, got Dustin Johnson talking a little bit about the LIV Golf Tour. Let me first bring in our radio audience here on this Thursday morning. Sirius XM Channel 159, the early line, is live. Dustin Johnson saying that he has every expectation that LIV is still going to be running for 2024. My takeaway is it's clearly not been 100% confirmed to them that LIV is going to be going for 2024.
Yeah, when these two things, you know, converge on that one umbrella for world golf, you would have automatically thought that the LIV Golf Tour and the PGA Tour would combine themselves once again. But keep in mind, Kevin, the reason why a lot of these guys went to the LIV Golf Tour, yes, money was a big deal, but playing less tournaments and also guaranteed paychecks along with only three rounds of golf for the week. That's why they thought LIV Golf was appealing. I don't know if that's going to go anywhere. And also, if the players just want to go back to the old PGA Tour ways.
That would be something where it's kind of like Patrick Reed talking like, oh, yeah, like the reason we all keep playing so well in majors is because we're rested.
True.
And it's like, we got to go back to that. Not got to go play the Canadian Open. No, thank you. Just let Nick Taylor enjoy that. We have no desire. In Major League Baseball news, Donnie, Mets pitcher Drew Smith suspended. The foreign substance check here. This is not as much a big name, but almost a little reminder that they are still checking for the foreign substances in Major League Baseball.
Yeah, maybe his locker's right next to Max Scherzer, and they share the same tub of spider tack and keep on lathering that up and trying to get away with it. Look, I'm just sources out here. I'm just saying, my timeline, they're pretty on point with this stuff.
Oh, you know what, though? Your timeline is filled with a lot of knuckleheaded nonsense. There could be, if we get another Mets pitcher to get a hit with the foreign substance, you got to start asking some questions. You got to start asking some questions. Like Scherzer ordered way too much of it. Somebody's got to use it if he can't.
They're always going to remember Joe Girardi was right to start questioning Max Scherzer and his greatness on the mound.
And undressing him out there on the field. We also got the news that Lance McCullers is going to be undergoing surgery, and he will be out for the season for the Houston Astros. But I want to get this last one in here, Donnie. Nikola Jokic lost.
Oh, we got to
finals MVP.
Yeah.
He can't find it, Donnie. He has no idea where it is.
No. We're not burning this topic here because this is going to go pretty deep here. Something that's so little scattershot here. I need some time with this one. I'm not burning it.
All right. I'll figure out what we'll move apart so you have full time. Yeah. We'll be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome in, everybody. It is the early line. We begin with the U.S. Open teeing off in about 3 hours' time out in Los Angeles here as we have one of golf's majors stepping up right away as, of course, we say goodbye to the NBA season and golf is here to take center stage. There's a couple of great wagers for us to go over, Donnie, but I want to start right at the top of the leaderboard here because even, look, John Rahm, Brooks Koepka, Rory McIlroy, these guys are getting respect. But right now, there is clearly a distinction being made between Scottie Scheffler and the rest. It's not no prime Tiger kind of booking where, you know, those numbers were 2-1 or less. But this is a stacked field, and Scottie Scheffler stands out amongst the rest here heading into the U.S. Open. And you and I were talking a little bit before we got going here. You agree heading into this tournament that Scottie Scheffler looks like top dog.
Yes, and also, Kevin, because what do you want here from a top golfer? Why would he be the favorite at the FanDuel Sportsbook to win it, Kevin? It's not because he won a major championship 10 years ago, right? It's how well, it's the recency bias that you are playing with now. You date back to the Phoenix Open here, where we took a first place. Take a look at the next couple tournaments, Kevin. Tied 12, tied 4th, 1st, tied 10th, tied 11th, tied 5th, 2nd, 3rd, and 3rd. In order to win a tournament, I know this sounds like redundant here, but you got to be in it, Kevin, right? You got to be in the final grouping on a Sunday afternoon. You got to be within two or three shots coming into Sunday to have a legitimate chance. That's what Scottie Scheffler provides. The one thing that would be shocking, right, if you saw Thursday's leaderboard and Friday's leaderboard, man, Scheffler's 10 shots back. Give me the steady hand that's going to be in it to win it, and that's the guy that I like. Scottie Scheffler is a great option. Why? You know he's going to be there Sunday, Kevin.
Golf is so often, I feel, at least to me, associated with big prices, right? Like people look at Scotty 6-1 and they go, oh boy, I mean, that is a light number. But if you're not a regular golf bettor, then you might be drawn to some shorter numbers on a Scotty Scheffler. Don, he's minus 145 to finish inside the top 10. He has done it's that incredible. At both majors this year and 12 of his last 15 tournaments. It's every time. That's the thing with Scottie Scheffler there. We bet minus 145 on a, you know, over 1.5 made threes for a three-point shooter here. Look, if you apply that same approach, Scottie Scheffler has been absolute money each and every time out.
Yeah, think about that. A top 10 in a major. Most guys are like, hey, man, I did that twice in my career. What a fabulous career. Obviously, winning the major championship is what they want to do, but look at the price point there. Like a top 5, top 10, you expect yourself typically, Kevin, with some of these bigger numbers, hey, plus 500, plus 750 here to come into the top 5. That's not even close here. As I know, we just talked about Scheffler at 6-1 to win this tournament, but my goodness, I wanted to press it down on like a top 10, and when I saw that price point, I'm like, you know what? It's not even worth it, but that just tells you how good he's actually been playing and what the odds makers think the same way we are. On Sunday, he's going to be in the mix, and that is a price-appropriate point that they're bringing up. A minus 145 for a top 10 in a major, that should pay out at so much more, but it just shows you the level of play that Scheffler has given us.
Here's the other thing about Scotty that caught my attention kind of in the buildup here, Don, into the U.S. Open, though, as people are, you know, kind of breaking down his game and what he's bringing to the table. Essentially, every, you know, all the golf metrics, right, strokes, whether it, you know, tee to green, off the driver, all that, he's unbelievable. He's been actively bad with the putter. It's just one of the big storylines heading into the weekend here is or I should say into the day, is he going to have a new putter with him here for the Open? And that might sound dangerous. That might not sound like something that you want to be involved with here, but the putting has already been bad. The notion, Donnie, is if he gets it just to average, he'll run away with this tournament there. So a lot of eyes are on Scottie Scheffler. Another guy there are a lot of eyes on, though, of course, are Brooks Koepka. Brooks has been dominant this year, as always, when it comes to good old Brooksy, right, Donnie? At a major, you expect big things. You expect him to perform at the absolute highest level, and it's now being reflected in his pricing because Brooks was not routinely up here with the absolute very, very best due to some of those struggles. But it's 6-1 Scotty, 9-1 on Jon Rahm, and then it is 11-1 on Brooks Koepka. Let's hear from Brooks and the idea around how much he elevates his game at the U.S. Open. Here's Brooks Koepka.
Decide that majors were the thing for you.
I don't know, probably growing up, right? Because at the end of the day, I think one thing that was always kind of harped on me was you knew how many majors Jack, you knew how many Tiger has, you knew how many Arnold Palmer has, you knew how many Gary Player, you knew how many Watson, all these legends, but I never knew how many PGA Tour events or wins they had total. But I could tell you each, going down the list, how many each of them have won. So that was kind of, I mean, it's pretty obvious, right? That's what you're judged on. It's major championships. You look at basketball, you judge on how many championships you've won, not how many games you won. Same thing in every sport.
And how gratifying is it to be able to say that you're on 5 and going to 6?
Yeah, it's not. I mean, don't get me wrong. It's better than 4, looking for 5. So that's definitely a lot better. But, yeah, it's like I said, double digits. That's what I'm trying to get to. I think it's I don't think it's out of the question for me. I think the way I've prepared, the way I've kind of suited my game for these things is it's going to help me. And like I said, I'm only 33. So I've definitely got quite a bit of time. I just got to stay healthy and keep doing what I'm doing.
I appreciate the honesty there, Donnie. I feel like plenty of guys are like, just another tournament. And Brooks essentially says, nobody cares what you do on the RBCT Heritage. It's all about going out there and winning majors. And for Brooks, he's been incredible. He finished, tied for second at the Masters, arguably should have won it, and then won the PGA Championship this year. He's having a phenomenal season as far as the majors go.
Exactly, and look outside of the majors, Kevin. Just like on the LIV Golf Tour, there's still a championship-level caliber that those guys are playing, even though it's only three rounds per week there. He had the first-place finish in the beginning of April, and then tied for 11th, third, tied for fifth, and then tied for 12th, and then the major championships there, tied for second, and a win there. So who's to say that he's not just going to come in here prepared? And also, when you look into the past, Kevin, hey, man, I won one a couple years ago. I'm looking for a second one, though. He's a multiple-time champion. He's used to being in this spot, yeah. And if you want to say, look, what, a year and a half, where's Brooks at? My goodness, Brooks, he's done, man. Hey, he went to LIV Golf. He took the paycheck. He knew he was going to be injured and not play well. He's just going to ride off into the sunset. Remember, a lot of people said that about LeBron James going to the Los Angeles Lakers. He's back, and he's playing tremendous golf here.
You brought up LeBron, not me. Let me just say this thing with Brooks, though, that did catch my attention a little bit, Donnie. So he had played a LIV tournament the week before both majors so far this year. And obviously the success was phenomenal. There was no tournament for him to play. So you go back to last year, and he did not have he was still on the PGA Tour, Donnie, at the time. He was not playing the week before a major, and he missed two cuts, and the other two times he finished at T55. I don't know if there's correlation. His golf is much, much better, it feels like, obviously, right now compared to last season. It did just catch my attention because people were, like, is LIV competitive enough? And I think clearly the rest for those guys, it's now kind of spun the other way. It's like, these guys are ready to go heading into these tournaments. They're not as exhausted as your PGA Tour golfer. But I do think there's something to being informed. Not that Brooks hasn't been competing, but Brooks is not someone that I'm looking at pre-tournament here, Donnie, just through that notion. Also, look, it's very difficult to go out there and rip off, multiple majors in a season, coming off of a major victory, the trip at Augusta, of course, T2. It's a difficult thing to do for any golfer at any level.
It is, because you're playing against great golfers there, and one bad hole, Kevin, can ruin your entire weekend. That's the fun part about the U.S. Open. The reason why we love it so much is it's a true test of golf. You have to keep in mind, you're not going to go probably, Kevin, 11, 12, 13 under par. You're going to be lucky to make it to par at this point, and that's why it's fantastic, a true test of golf, and I can't wait for it to begin in a couple hours.
Absolutely. So I'm going to have one more note we're going to hit on the other side of this break around the FanDuel Sportsbook and their odds boost and a couple of things that they're getting people set up here with the U.S. Open. And then we turn it over to some Major League Baseball happenings. It's all happening right here on the Early Line. We'll be back after this quick break.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back to right here on the Early Line. Two quick notes before we make the move over to the Major League Baseball here as the FanDuel Sportsbook gets you set up for the U.S. Open. Firstly, a boost, or I guess a bonus, some insurance. I don't know how you want to label it, Donnie. But when it comes to betting an outright winner, if you opt in, they will refund you up to $25 if your selected choice in the outright market finishes inside the top 20. You and I both certainly interested in Scottie Scheffler this week. I also think if you're looking to kind of play the boost strategically and you're saying, listen, I want to make sure I get my money back here, Rory McIlroy is someone that catches the attention, playing good golf on the way in here. The worry with Rory is usually, can he close on a Sunday? And we'll see if he can. He's 12-1 here in this tournament, but he's got three straight top 10s coming in. He was top 10 in all of the majors last season, and four consecutive top 10s at the U.S. Open, Donnie. So Rory is also someone that would catch my attention here using the FanDuel insurance.
Yeah, no doubt about it. It's certainly a fun thing to do if you it's hard. 100-plus golfers in this tournament, Kevin. You're trying to pick the winner. Just in case you don't come in the top 20, it's a safe play. Get it back, bet it again, see what you can do with it.
And then lastly, Phil the Thrill Mickelson is kind of the star of the show on a FanDuel Sportsbook odds boost here. Whoa, They dropped a secondary odds boost here, actually, the FanDuel Sportsbook, involving two other golfers. We'll bring that up at hour number two. You got a lot of time to get involved with that. But I want to just quickly, Donnie, here, Victor Hovland, John Rahm, and Phil Mickelson, each to make the cut here, boosted from plus 220 up to plus 350. And I know the idea is, oh, is that just the bet on Phil? Well, Phil Mickelson is plus 122 to make the cut. It is a plus price. But if you feel like you're through the door on Hovland and through the door on Rahm, you're now staring down the barrel of plus 350. He's made the cut at both majors so far this year. And I also feel like, Donnie, there's got to be some positive energy around Phil Mickelson and all of that LIV news. I like this FanDuel boost here, plus 350.
Well, I mean, if we just take a look again at recency bias, Kevin, the first two majors of the season, I see the Masters a tie too, which is fantastic for Phil Mickelson. But then the PGA Championship a tied for 58th. Oh, man, he only came in the top, made the cut. You'll take a top 58 in this one to make the cut once again. But it does feel like you are looking directly at Phil Mickelson. Now, for me, I do actually think he makes the cut, but it's so interesting with Phil. He's getting up there in age, but has shown the chances that he can still win majors at this age. He did it right quite recently, within the past 2 years. But it feels like either he's going to go real low, Kevin. You're like, hey, what'd Mickelson do round one, plus six? Like, ooh, that's going to hurt. That's the one that you're zeroing right in on. That's going to be a bet specifically on Phil Mickelson to make the cut. Almost like an odds boost for himself, right, if you take a look at it.
I will say, though, the amount of times we've said that, and then the headline Saturday morning is, how did John Rahm miss the cut at the U.S. Open? I can't even prepare for such a thing. Like, Don, Phil's in there a nice, tidy T20 because he's just so locked in. And Rahm couldn't handle it because Mickelson specifically was in his head. Because, again, we know that's what Phil's capable of, Donnie.
No, exactly. Here's what Mickelson needs to do. You ever watch the movie Coming to America? You know, when Prince Hakeem comes into the room, they throw the rose petals down. Mickelson needs people to throw 100s down as he walks down the fairway this week. That would be tremendous stuff. Tremendous.
And I think he would absolutely love it. He'd be dialed. He's like, what are we betting this hole? And he would be just on fire, unstoppable here. Speaking of unstoppable, the Atlanta Braves, this team continues to get the job done. Little doubleheader sweep of the Detroit Tigers. The Braves right now with the very best record in the National League, Donnie. They won 8 of their last 10 games. They're 42-26. The expectation for Atlanta is that they would be awesome, and Atlanta is awesome.
Yeah, Atlanta busted out the bats yesterday. Also needed a big comeback, Kevin. Game one of that doubleheader, down 4-0 early. Live on the air, I'm going like, this doesn't seem right, Kevin. This team is down 4 runs, and they're only a plus 300 in this game to come back when most teams would be like a plus 2,000 at that point. They stormed right back, took the lead in that game, and finished it off. But also, some little things that you want to take a look out for. The FanDuel Sportsbook to open up the season for the first couple weeks, Spencer Strider in that sort of, you know, jockeying position to be the Cy Young Award winner. He has really struggled as of late. They won a game where he had 5 innings and 5 earned runs. He needs to turn it around and turn it around quickly here.
And that's reflected, Donnie, in those NL Cy Young odds. Plus 210, Zach Allen. Clayton Kershaw, second choice. Wow, shout out to him. Plus 550. And then 750 right now, Spencer Strider is actually at the same exact price as Zach Wheeler. I'm old enough to remember when Zach Wheeler got off to a slow start this season. And now he's neck and neck there with the Spencer Strider. Just speaking of Zach Wheeler, though, and the Phillies, Donnie, in terms of those division prices for the NL East, it is incredible how competitive this division was meant to be. The Phillies off of a World Series, the Mets spending. Miami maybe could take a step forward. Minus 1,300 on the Atlanta Braves right now, which is interesting, though, because it's an 8-game lead on Philly, 10-game on the Mets. It's only 4.5 on the Marlins. It goes to show they don't truly believe Miami can be a threat here to the Braves.
No, they don't, because what's the MO for the Marlins while they're playing good baseball at the break? Like, Louis Arraez is trying to, you know, hover around that 400 range. They'll probably move him for a piece because they can't pay him in the future. One of those things typically what the Marlins do. But having said that, the Braves by far, Kevin, the best team in this division. The Phillies will close that gap. The Mets can't play any worse as they can. But are you going to overcome that lead against a good baseball team this summer? I don't think that's going to happen. But again, it's what the Phillies do. Hang around, win some, lose some, get hot in September and see what happens. But the Braves, they got that MO. They play good all year long, Kevin.
I'll tell you a team that's not been playing good all year long, the St. Louis Cardinals. 15 games under 500, another blown lead yesterday as this team was up 5-2 heading into the seventh inning. They were up 5-3 heading into the ninth. They lose 8-5 in extras to the San Francisco Giants. Look, San Fran's having a nice season, not to take credit away, but this feels like a St. Louis team, Don, and that's going to go from, you know, postseason expectations to, hey, do we start selling people off at the deadline here and completely reshaping the direction of our franchise?
There's so many good players in that roster. There's no reason for them to be this far down. And also, Kevin, how many times do you hear us say, like, oh, the Phillies, two games under 500, or the Mets, a few games under 500, they can turn it around. 27-42. Like, and as Nolan Arenado said the other day, this isn't like a bad stretch of baseball. No, we've just been bad the entire season, and we don't know if we can turn it around. Because when you see teams go, hey, we lost 5 of 6 games, let's have that team meeting and really get back on the same page, they can't do that. Otherwise, they would have done it 13 times already this season. They're a bad baseball team in a bad division, which makes it even worse.
But let me ask you this. Paul Goldschmidt, Donnie, this season, next season, that's what's left on his deal, then he's going to be a free agent. Yeah. This guy won the MVP last year. Are the St. Louis Cardinals, is that something that you could see them considering moving on from a Paul Goldschmidt? Or is that just too difficult of a pill to swallow?
Baseball is so year to year, Kevin. What I mean by that is you can have a very good season, then a not so good season, and break everything up at the trade deadline. It's just such an oddity there where if you're out of it, it doesn't seem like they take that long. But hey, stay the course this year. We'll be better next year. We'll add pieces. Mm-hmm. It seems like if you're bad that season, everybody calls for a fire sale of your baseball season. And a lot of the times it happens.
Because, look, I don't think they're going to be moving on from Arenado. There's just so much they've poured into him. Plus, he has a full no-trade clause, which would make things very complicated. But Goldschmidt, it's something to keep an eye on. We know when it comes to the baseball deadline, there's always one or two names that, you know, come available. And could maybe Paul Goldschmidt be one of them here. The battle in Queens yesterday is where this one took place. Mm. The Mets take down the Yankees in extras, Donnie, 4-3. I know to you this game happened in the city. If it was in the Bronx, this game would have happened in the city. It's all the same. Subway Series. At the end of the day, the Mets, though, get what feels like a much-needed victory here. You can't get swept in your own building against the Yanks.
No, you can't. The Mets certainly needed that. And also, most people say, like, Times Square, Queens, same at that point. I mean, it's all one big, lovely city called the Big Apple, and the Mets took down the Yankees there. It's always fun when the Subway Series does get together. Not a clean game all the way through, and you actually got some good pitching performances here, Kevin, by your superstar pitchers that get paid a lot of money to do that. They're finally showing up at the right time. And also, I believe the game stayed under the total, Kevin, at 7.5, so underbackers rejoiced even though you went to extra innings.
And again, I know the idea is, oh, it should have gone under, but you have to understand how heartbreaking that is as an overbacker. Your dream is 3-3, let's get to extras.
Yes.
That's your dream scenario, Donnie. And you get there.
Absolutely.
And then the Yankees do a whole lot of nothing. I know I kind of do this every time we do a Yankees recap, but Donnie, I know they're missing Judge. What is this lineup that the Yankees send out there in a regular basis here? I mean, Jake Bauer's batting leadoff. What is the story?
Now, here's the story for me, Kevin. Let's go down to that 9-hole here, and maybe Derek Jeter Alex Rodriguez combined prospect known as Anthony Volpe. Everybody loves him. You can't, Kevin, even move him for the best players in baseball 2 weeks ago. He's batting 192. He's in the 9-hole here. Time to step up if you're a prospect. And, oh, yeah, Kevin, are we this close to the – Jason Dominguez. Oh, no, forget about Volpe. Dominguez, the next guy. Prospects. Look, he's young, Kevin. He might turn out to be a great baseball player, but he was anointed Derek Jeter Part 2 after his first at-bat in Major League Baseball.
And to your point, though, and because here's the thing, there's going to be people who hear that and be like, oh, you're being hard on him. No, he's not.
Yeah.
No, he's not. I'm not saying that I need him to be batting 330. He's batting 192. This is what happens. I mean, Gary Sanchez was supposed to be the best hitting catcher in baseball. He's had 7 other stints. I think he ended up on the Mets at one point there. I think is he in San Francisco? I mean, Gary Sanchez
Padres,
at one point.
Of course
he is, right? But Don, I think at one point he was just out of Major League Baseball.
Yes,
it's like we've seen this not go well. Clint Frazier bats 7th for the White Sox here. It's just, here we are. Goldschmidt's going to hit the block, Donnie. The Yanks going to be like, listen, we're more than good. We're more than good. I know. We'll be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Rolling with Major League Baseball here, despite the fact that Donnie is backstage right now, chomping at the bit for the Ja Morant update that was not allowed to disrupt the finals, but is allowed to. They've got to time it perfectly. We'll get there. I don't want to blow past some baseball preview because there were some other big results on the board last night, Donnie. We'll get to the, or I should say recap, we'll get to the preview in a minute here. The Rangers handle their business against the LA Angels, and I hate to take away from Texas from the great season that they're having, Seager and Simeon getting it done, but Ohtani, it's a 21st home run here that sees him have now the lead in the American League by two over Aaron Judge. Ohtani is once again completely out of control. You can't say it too much. He's minus 250 to win the AL MVP. And as you know, I've been saying consistently here, the only two things that could trip him up, injury and getting traded to the National League. And I'm still holding out hope. Well, I'd rather him get traded to the Yankees, but that's neither here nor there. I mean, Donnie, again, just the Ohtani stuff. You can't praise it enough. The guy is a superstar.
Yeah, how about this? Volpe and Dominguez here. Not enough from an Angels perspective to get that Trout job done here, right? And by the way, like so many times in Major League Baseball this season, Kevin, I'm more of a day-to-day guy, right? So you put those laser focus on each day, hitter, batter, what he meant. And Joe Ranieri brought up this week that Ohtani had 20 home runs. And I got to say, it actually took me aback for a second. I'm like, oh, my goodness. Because you see the day-to-day he's hitting home runs. But if you're not looking at the overall statistics of who's leading baseball in what categories, that took me back. And he hit his 21st home run. Like, are we really going to see Shohei Ohtani get into the 40s with home runs and also be a quality pitcher on the mound? He is really doing. And by the way, when the bar gets set higher and higher, let me just take a look at, like, next year, Kevin. Let's just say Shohei Ohtani's hitting 299 right now. Let's give him 300. Let's give him 42 home runs and, I don't know, 125 RBI and being a really good pitcher on the mound. Is he ever going to be allowed to be MVP again, to be held to that standard? Well, Shohei Ohtani only had 31 home runs last year and had a 3.2 ERA on the mound. I'm worried about that. Where you run it so far, Kevin, up the flagpole, that all they do is now measure that season, which you won the MVP, against what you need to do in the future. It's pretty crazy.
So we talk about the difficulty of winning back-to-back, and Ohtani won a year, didn't. And I think that'll be a very real conversation heading into next season, but notice how, and I think this is fair by Donnie. Donnie is not breaking down, does he think he's going to win AL MVP this year? He's obviously going to win it. Donnie, over the last 2 weeks of baseball, he's batting .436 with 8 home runs and 18 RBIs. He's the best pitcher on the team. It doesn't make sense.
In a free agent year. I can't even imagine what the headlines are going to be. Like, if we always thought, like, oh man, when is, you know, Bryce Harper going to sign? He signed in, you know, March in the middle of spring training with the Philadelphia Phillies. Does Ohtani possibly miss the first half of next season because they can't figure out if he's worth $800 million over 10 years or a billion? I don't know, man.
I will say, then it just always, no matter what, we do these breakdowns, and it reminds me that somehow, some way, the Angels cannot win with him and Trout, and they genuinely are better off trading Shohei Ohtani
last night
for just a whole new farm system. Again, of course they couldn't do it last night. One team that couldn't do it last night was the hottest team in baseball, legitimately, the Oakland Athletics. They'd won 7 in a row. They were beating people over the head, Donnie, in this series against the Rays. Because people just, well, they're not going to lose again, run line. Or they're not going to lose again, run line. Or they're not going to lose it, run. And it didn't work out. Now, last night, finally, Tampa got the job done. 6-3 final here for the Rays as they avoid getting swept. The same fate that the Milwaukee Brewers fell victim to by, again, the piping hot Oakland Athletics.
Yeah, we had all those fun responses on Twitter, too. Like, if you started, Kevin, with $100 on the A's at the beginning of their win streak, you'd be like a multimillionaire at this point. Meanwhile, nobody was actually going to roll it over, and nobody actually did do that. But it is always fun to talk about that there. But it was interesting to see that the Rays finally had a bounce back. Now, I want to take this a little bit of a different direction, Kevin. I'm going to bring it back to our same game parlays here, right? So if we go back to hockey, the way it ended, Kevin, on the show, I said, boy, I got a good one here. I really do. Jonathan Marchessault to score a goal and the Vegas Golden Knights to win the game, which ended up winning the Stanley Cup for them. And as I'm watching the score box, and again, I'm going to keep on saying this, I don't understand how they had 9 goals. The Vegas Golden Knights and Marchessault didn't get a single one of those. So I lost that. It's like, okay, it's bounce back time. So I'm going to go to my old trusty Tampa Bay Rays. First part of that two-leg parlay, Kevin, need the Rays to win that game. They came back and won it. No surprise when I saw they had 6 runs on the board. So I take a look and say, okay, the second leg was Isaac Paredes to get an RBI in that game. I said, like, wait, guys, oh, man, he didn't even get an RBI. So, of course, I like to go through the inning by inning. And don't yell in the second inning, Kevin. Man on first base, double in the gap, hold him at third. I don't cash that ticket in either. That's 2 straight nights. Your boy DRS actually deserved the same game parlay winner and didn't get it. So even though my Rays won the game yesterday, they let me down, man. Let me down big time.
I will say, I think your Marchessault complaint is far more valid.
Oh, my goodness. And he won the Conn
Smythe winner. That's what I'm saying. The Conn Smythe winner.
I was hoping he lost to Conn Smythe because he didn't score for me. Yes. I was hoping Mark Stone, who had a hat trick, actually stole the Conn Smythe, and that would have made me feel a little bit better about myself.
Now, is rumor true, Donnie, that the reason why Marchessault won it instead of Mark Stone because all the voters had to get their ballots in at the end of the first period, like when they were saying in the Super Bowl that all the votes were in for Cooper Kupp after they scored the touchdown despite the fact that the Bengals had 2 minutes and 10 seconds to drive the field?
No, actually, what's more is that the voters actually didn't know who Mark Stone was here, and neither did the Vegas crowd. They only know Marchessault, right? So there you go. That was my angle. Mark Stone.
Name
that?
Recognition, people.
Who,
it makes all the difference. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, I heard there was another Stone on the Panthers, and that essentially just kind of the total votes there got it mixed a little bit. All right, let's preview some baseball games here. We're going to preview a couple of games here and then hour number 2 as well. So don't worry, anything that we don't hit here, we'll get in hour 2. I will start this off with the very first game of the day, Donnie, which is the Blue Jays and the Orioles here. Any AL East meetings certainly grab the attention. Baltimore at home is a favorite against Kikuchi. And we've got a 9 right now, the over sitting at plus 100.
On the season, you say Kikuchi has been a bad pitcher. If we take a look analytic-wise, right? The ISO power numbers and the weighted on-base percentage. He's actually been a little bit better against left-handed bats. Keep in mind, Kikuchi is a left-handed pitcher, but only 18 at-bats he's faced lefties over the past 30 days. He's done well. Still struggling mightily, Kevin, against right-handed batters. A 367 ISO power number and a weighted on-base percentage of 455 over the past 30 days. And I like this lineup here for the Baltimore Orioles. But having said that, Kevin, they just haven't hit left-handed pitching over the past 30 days. Take a look at the lineup. The guys that you're going to want to factor in on here and take a look at would be Santander in the 3-hole. 333 ISO power number, weighted on base percentage, a 503. Leadoff position, Austin Hayes, 532 weighted on base percentage, ISO 435. But get this, Kevin. Everybody else in that lineup, Rutschman, a 300 weighted on base percentage, not good enough. Hicks, 263. Urias, 127. McCann, 154. Mateo, 234. McKenna, 159. That's not a lineup that we usually anticipate coming from Baltimore, and you should be able to take care of Kikuchi. You're going to get a ton of right-handed bats in the lineup against Kikuchi, a left-handed pitcher who hasn't done that well, but that's the sort of leap of faith you need. Okay, Kikuchi's bad against righties, a lot of righties. Let me just play it here. It'll be interesting, but the one thing that you do like, 81 degrees with the wind blowing out today at Camden Yards. That should help, but a little bit frayed there on which way it should go. Fade Kikuchi, we're back that lineup here for the Orioles.
All right, we'll keep our eye then out there on that game. Kikuchi has seen Baltimore once this season, only lasted 4 2/3 inning, held them in check to 3 earned runs, which is not a horrendous performance all in all, but that was a game still 1-6-2 by Baltimore. We talked about it a little bit here, the Athletics and the Rays. They'll finish off this 4-game set, and maybe, Donnie, it's just back to business for Tampa now, a minus 200 favorite here, totals also a 9, and maybe they were able to discard of Oakland and Paul Blackburn here quite easily.
Yeah, early start on the West Coast, 12-37. And you take a look at Blackburn, 16 batters he's faced, Kevin, over the past month to left-handed batters. He's dominated them. 071 ISO power number, which is fantastic. But right-handed batters give him a lot of trouble, Kevin. 26 batters, which, again, isn't a lot on the season for Paul Blackburn. A 304 ISO power number, a 465 weighted on base percentage. Those right-handed batters you want to line up. Diaz had a great night last night. Wander Franco probably will be batting actually from the left-hand side. A Rosarena, Ramirez, the guy I had last night, Kevin, I thought he would get an RBI, but actually didn't play. Jose Siri has been tremendous for Tampa Bay against right-handed pitching over the past month at 364 ISO power number. So if he's in the lineup late on the back end of that lineup, he's probably worth a look. But I do believe it's back to business, just like I thought it would be yesterday. Another win for the Rays on deck today.
The one thing I will just say is do be cautious out there, though, with that run line. Because I know that, just laid a run line. How could it possibly make a difference? It makes a difference. There for a reason. If it didn't make a difference, they wouldn't post it. So we'll see ultimately if Tampa's able to close the door. I don't know, that five spot on Paul Blackburn looks a little bit stronger than I thought it would. And maybe it's the total. The nine, am I wrong, Donnie? The nine just looks a little stronger than I would have expected going into this game.
Yeah, Bradley's got a little bit to work out there at this. Actually, no, the pitcher, who's the pitcher of record today? Taj Bradley.
Yeah,
struggled a little bit with right-handed batters. Yeah, so, I mean, a guy that has that upper-level fastball and certainly a very good off-speed pitch, young pitcher, hasn't worked it out yet. The A's sometimes a little bit sneaky there with their bats. But again, if we're looking from a betting perspective, a lot of times you do just lean towards the over because it's Oakland and Tampa's going to get nine at-bats against Oakland. It scored six last night. Mm-hmm. You would be surprised if they didn't at least get five runs today. So,
all right, Phillies D-backs here. Probably the last one that we're going to do inside this hour is Aaron Nola has the ball against Ryan Nelson here. Great job out of me by not saying Reen, as that's Ryan Nelson there. Spelling's questionable, but at the end of the day, it is what it is. Minus 126 for Philly on the road right now as they're going to look to try and take down the Diamondbacks. Look, this has been a bit of a wild series here, DRS. But Arizona taking that first game 9-8 and then a 15-3 shellacking that the Phillies handed them, and the Phillies grabbed the game yesterday in extras 4-3, taking 3 out of 4 to get back up over 500 against the second best team in the National League by the Diamondbacks, which would be impressive. Do you think they'll do that?
Yeah, any win against the Diamondbacks. Now, it used to be you go out to Arizona and say, hey, man, you better win that series because they're a bad baseball team. They're very good now. But also, if you say, I have Aaron Nola on one side and Ryan Nelson on another side, you better win this game if you're the Philadelphia Phillies. And by the way, maybe another great look for Kyle Schwarber tonight. If you're lining up Ryan Nelson in the last 30 days, a 381 ISO power number against lefties and a 466 weighted on base percentage. Schwarber's absolutely crushed right-handed pitching over the past month, at least his power numbers, right? Which also leaves up there from the left-handed spot, Bryce Harper, Bryson Stott, Cody Clemens, and Brandon Marsh. So if I'm looking from a Phillies perspective today, I do think they win, and some of those big left-handed boppers probably should do some damage as well against Nelson.
All right, let's try and see here if the Phillies, though, to me, I just, in general, Donnie, what kind of run can this team go on here? Because the Phillies last year were not off to some great hot start, and it was just kind of about getting in, right? That was the difference maker for Philadelphia. They just had to get there. Being able to go to somewhere like Arizona, who's been playing really good baseball, getting plenty of respect, and then, look, you spit it forward, Donnie. It's 3 at Oakland. I know they're playing better. You're going to be favored in all those games. And then you're home for 6 straight against Atlanta and the Mets. Opportunity right there for the Phillies here to build up some momentum. We'll close out the hour with some NFL headlines.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We're closing out the hour with a little football here, DRS. This Kirk Cousins story caught my attention. What are you saying now? Hold on a minute. We're in school.
What'd they cut this off for? It sounded like we got cut off quick there. Like, hurry up with the segment. Like, the music.
Well, I think it's because you were talking straight through the intro there, which is, you know what I mean? You gotta button up a little bit, pal. Now talk to me. A little Kirk Cousins information, Donnie. As they said that he does not believe that he will talk contract with the Vikings until he's a free agent. That's interesting to me. I can't tell, like, who's bothered with who. If Minnesota's had enough of Kirk, if Kirk's had enough of Minnesota here, and what I'm supposed to take away from the whole situation.
I mean, struggling for words on Kirk Cousins' career, because he has put up good numbers, but I don't understand this. It's almost like everybody wants to move on from Kirk Cousins until it's time to move on. They go, yeah, we got to make him the highest paid quarterback in the game here. What are you kidding me? We got to keep Kirk Cousins around. It feels like he's the only guy unaffected with, hey, by the way, you don't have a contract next year. So what? I'm going to play this year, and you're going to pay me more money than anybody ever thought I could make on a year-to-year basis, and I'll keep doing this for, it seems like, the next 15 years.
Is there a world where he ends up like Matt Stafford? And I don't mean the exact result of where Stafford wins the Super Bowl and everything. I'm talking about, though, everyone like started to defend Stafford. They're like, oh, if we just get him somewhere good. Is the idea that Cousins has already been good places and then they don't finish because of him? Or are people going to eventually rally around Kirk Cousins, gets the chance to win a Super Bowl, and then people start pitching Hall of Fame case, Donnie?
It's crazy how his career could end up. He's an above average quarterback in the NFL. He does catch a lot of hate, but he does perform. Look at the statistics, Kevin. You're right. Get him on a legitimate contender, and I'm not going to say he's going to win at all, but come on now. Let's go.
Isn't he on
Do we
one?
Look at the Vikings as they're going to like make a run to a championship? No, not necessarily.
Not this year, but remember, like they have like the best record in football.
And we get him on the Niners. Get him on the Niners.
I can't put every good quarterback on the Niners.
Get him on the Chiefs.
And that's
when
they'll
be
good.
Chiefs.
No!
Whether it's slots or live dealers, SpinQuest.com has the fun and action you're looking for with SpinQuest exclusives. Blackjack, roulette, baccarat, and even live dice with craps and bubble craps. The games never stop, so you don't have to. And right now, new users get $30 coin packs for just $10. Play now at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
If the world were like a Sleep Number mattress, everything would adapt for your comfort. Because as your life changes and your body changes, Sleep Number mattresses adapt and shift to give you personalized comfort night after night. And now everything's on sale during our Memorial Day event. Save up to $1,200 on mattresses for a limited time. To experience a whole new world of comfort, visit a Sleep Number store or go to sleepnumber.com. Sleep Number, to a good life's sleep.